Three Peeps in a Podcast.
This is BBC Radio Bristol with an hour of sport every weeknight from 6. Tonight, it's the sound of the city.
I have to say on Insta, that's one of the goals of the season.
Jeff Twentyman on BBC Radio Bristol.
It is indeed. Radio for City fans every Monday. You know the drill between 6 and 7. 10 games to go. City are 7th on 54 points. Just 2 points, though, off the top 6. Hanging in there. But 3 red men here to talk about your club, about your team. You can join the chat. A telephone number, 08000 855 949. Text 81333 with 20 man at the very front of the message. Or you can send me a tweet via Twitter at Jeff20man is where I am. OK, 10 matches to go of the scheduled season. City arrested a run of 3 defeats with a 1-1 draw at Millwall on Saturday. Lee Johnson made 6 changes for this one. 1 enforced, that was between the sticks. Dan Bentley was injured. All 3 of his deadline day signings were left out. He explained afterwards why he made those changes.
I wanted a quicker back 4 than we'd had in previous games. That was the first thing, because I wanted to be able to squeeze the pitch. I wanted to get our hustlers back in the team, if you like, the likes of O'Dowda and Vyman. Corey Smith obviously came into the team having been injured, so he would have played in every single game. And it was important that we got energy on that field today, and there was some neat moves, some really good play. A couple of times we could have been maybe a bit more clinical in our final pass. But attitude, absolutely exemplary from the players today, and that's what I'm most pleased about.
And I think 9 of the starting lineup were here last season. Was it just a case of they know exactly how you work inside out?
Yeah, and it definitely, 100%. And that was important, because it's very difficult for new players to come in and bed in, but it's also difficult to bed them in because it's game. Mm. I think we've had like 5-6 sessions maybe actually on the grass with Naki Wells that haven't been recovering. So we can do all the analysis we want, but the true test of that is a pre-season, really, whether they truly fit your philosophy. So, but look, we'll try and bed the boys in, but most importantly today, it was, a really, really tough game. You saw the pitch, how bad the pitch was, not conducive to unbelievable football, but we battled and we played some football as well, so I was really pleased.
10 more games to go, Lee, in that fight for a top 6 finish.
Yeah, it's all to play for, absolutely, and that was a big thing for me today. It was the performance. Yes, the result is a good one, let me tell you, given the other results and given the fact that it keeps Millwall away. And of course we've got to now build on that performance. I said to the boys, I loved it, I loved the attitude, but that's the baseline now. And now we build the performance, we build the quality, and that individual bit of skill and stardom will come out.
That was Lee Johnson chatting with Richard after the game. Got 3 of my own hustlers in the studio. Delighted joining us on the show. Joe Woodworth, Matt Withers and Patch Warner. Good to have you in, lads. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having us.
Patch, we've all just listened to that. He reverted to type to what he really knows, essentially. What do you make of that wholesale change at the weekend?
Yeah, well, he talks about his philosophy quite a lot in all of his interviews and his way of playing. And, you know, he's got those 3 signings that came in January, and it was more of a drag and drop without any philosophy training, if you like, and it clearly didn't work. And you know, it stopped the rot on Saturday. Huddersfield game was, we're all in agreement that it was one of the worst performances I've seen in a number of seasons. And the constant changes, 6 changes were expected more or less for Saturday, and first half was a remarkable improvement. And it, obviously, from coming from the game on Tuesday, it wasn't really hard to improve upon that. But yeah, the hustlers were back in. Corey Smith coming back in was a good thing. And I just hope that he can stay fit and we can continue to build it around him. If he can stay fit, that's a big thing for me.
I like your expression about drag and drop. I mean, Matt Withers, what do you make of it? I mean, you signed the 3 players on deadline day.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden you're saying, you know, you can't bed them in. Why sign them in the first place then?
Well, not only that, you think they've done their diligence, Jeff, beforehand, to know the style of player that they've got. I think
the weekend, if he was honest, Benkovic and Henriksen weren't great. They weren't the only ones, certainly, at Huddersfield, but they were both taken off at half-time, so it would have been strange to start with them the weekend. The Naki Wells one is the one for me that I've got the issue with. You know, you've spent £5 million on a bloke who's scoring goals in the Championship. He's getting no sort of service, and he's the one that has to sit out. And, you know, I agree with Patch to an extent in terms of the weekend, in terms of it was an improvement. It still wasn't great. The first half was an improvement. You know, we were up against a physical side. The second half was back to type almost. You know, we were defending. There's no creativity going forward. And take Corey Smith out of that side the weekend, I don't know that we would have got the point out of it. I think he's, like Patch said, he's vital for the rest of the season for us.
Yeah, hanging in there though, aren't they? I mean, was 1 point after three defeats, and yet amazingly, they're only 2 points off the top six.
And people have sort of said, I was reading a couple of comments the weekend, that it shows how tough a division it is. I think it shows, you take the top two out of the equation, and probably Fulham and Brentford as well, but pretty much anyone else can beat anyone. Mm. And we've stayed in to where we are because other teams are dropping points as well. So, you know, we're not on our own with that. I don't know how many other teams are putting in performances like we're putting in. You know, we're certainly not playing as a side that are going for promotion, you know, and looking for a playoff place.
Yeah, you say take the top two out of it, but you look at West Brom, they lost at home to Wigan. I mean, that just goes to show the Championship is nuts on a given day.
On a given day, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Joe, what do you make of it? Broad brushstroke?
Well, if I was to be broad, I'd say we're simply not creating enough chances. There's no creativity coming out of midfield at the moment. Eliasson, as much as I love him, I think he's an absolutely fantastic player, but he's gone off the boil. Whether that's we're not giving him enough ball, we're not like suiting his strengths, I don't know, but he's gone off the boil.
People know the threat he carries, the opposition, and work to nullify him, don't they?
Yeah, they do double up on him at times. But, you know, as when you've got a player like Eliasson, you've got to utilise him and you've got to work out a way of, you know, beating that defensive system to use him. And I'm just not seeing enough of that at the moment.
I don't know about you, Joe. I think he's... And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way to Nick Eliasson, but he's hiding. He's not... He's making straight runs... he's not seemingly showing for the ball. So for me, you know, I would have started as they did with Callum O'Dowd at the weekend because I think Nick's form has been poor. But like you, Jeff, I know you're a big Eliasson fan. He's just not delivering at the moment. So I'm with
players
Joe
lose
now,
form. But I'm a great believer in coaching on the training ground, how you develop a player to. If Eliasson can't get on the ball or he's confronted by two opponents, it's the coach's job to teach him how to get on the ball and how to play against two.
And that should also free up space if they've got two that are marking him, you know, and taking him out of the game. There should be sort of room for someone else. But
and you say about the doubling up on Eliasson, which I agree with, and almost like we've been found out giving the ball constantly. Yeah. The fact that they're doubling up on him, it should give the opportunity for someone in the middle to make the way forward, but that just hasn't happened. You said about not having Casey Palmer in the 18 on Saturday, which is one of the most creative players. If Eliasson's being doubled up on, that gives a perfect opportunity for someone like Palmer to come in and get the ball, to get time on the ball and thread it through.
I couldn't phone in after the Huddersfield game, Jeff, because I was that livid, because it was, I mean, Pat said, for me, it was absolutely the worst performance under Lee's sort of tenure. But how Casey Palmer didn't get on that pitch is beyond me. And if there's something else in it, you know, I know he had the breathing difficulties the game before, but he wasn't in the squad again the weekend, or didn't get on the pitch the weekend, sorry. I don't understand it. Mm. You know, again, big money signing, a creative player. I think a lot of fans, like Joe was saying, we'd like to see him on the pitch. He doesn't look anywhere near
it. It's a mystery. You'd really like to see him out there, Joe?
Certainly. Absolutely. If you think back to the start of the season when you had a Fobi running line up front, the play was it was brilliant. You had Palmer threading these balls through, a Fobi running onto them, and we genuinely looked a real attacking threat going forward. Mm. And that's just completely fizzled out recently. There's just nothing going forward. And I'm thinking, if you can do it with a Fobi, why can't you do it with Naki Wells? And there's no reason why you can't. But I'm just thinking, at the moment, we're a bit too defensive, and yeah, there's just nothing going forward.
Yeah. Going back to Henriksen and Benkovic, yeah. I imagine Wells will reappear in the side. Yeah. But in terms of the two guys, Benkovic and Henriksen, is that their season over now? Will they not play a part, do you feel?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's their season over. I wonder with Benkovic whether there's more to it with the Leicester situation. Is there something that they'd agreed, a bit like the Liverpool-Ryan Kent thing, a certain amount of games or whatever? Mm. Both of them, when they came in at the Derby game, I think we sort of talked about, looked really good.
Everyone said that.
Since, Henriksen's looked really off the pace. Mm.
Is it because he's forcing the issue with his philosophy and trying to get him to play in a different way?
Could be.
He had the freedom to come in that first game and play the way he thought he should play.
Yeah.
It could be an element of that. And training the way he's playing, that's confused him, whether he's trying too hard to fit with the way that Johnson wants him to play.
Benkovic is obviously a quality player. I mean, he was, what, 13 million or whatever it was. The thing with me, with him is he better than Taylor Moore? And for me, absolutely not. And yet we've allowed Taylor Moore to go out on loan yet again. He is the one of the players that we had that would bring the ball out. Yes, he makes mistakes because he's a youngster, but he wasn't making any more mistakes than Benkovic has done in the three games that he's played.
I think part of the problem is he's spoilt for choice with centre-backs. He's trying to fit in and keep people happy, but you've got Ashley Williams on the bench, who's been one of our best players all season. Yeah. Benkovic, another centre back, and Callas and Baker played really well on Saturday for the lion's share of the game.
Yeah.
So how do you get Williams and Benkovic back in without tinkering the formation once again? It's a spot that we're
something
often
levied at Lee, isn't it? That when he's not got many clubs in the bag to play with, we then seem to perform and go on a run. But when he's got a lot of choice, that's when he seems to struggle to know his best side. And again, I'm saying the weekend, I don't know what our best side is, Jeff. So, as a
you
fan,
don't know as
no,
a fan?
No, I really don't. I really, at the moment, I'm struggling. There's one or two positions. I think Dan Bentley starts for me as well as Mainpa did okay the weekend. But other than that, Corey Smith, Callas and Baker when they're fit. But the rest of them, I really don't know the best side, the best formation with the way that the players have been playing of late.
I've said it before, they're all capable of an 8 and 9 out of 10 game. But it's the consistency that we always struggle with. And the reason you probably can't pick your best team is because you've seen, 25 players play this season in the first team.
Mm.
And they've all put in at least one 8 out of 10 game. But very rarely do they all put in a regular appearance in terms of that rating.
Yeah, sure. Talking City, Sound of the City with Joe Woodworth, Patch Warner and Matt Withers. One of the buzzwords that Lee uses is identity. what is the identity right now? I've said about this, I said it with Chris Honor after the West Brom. I don't see it now. The West Brom game, I remember the Man City games and the Man United games, there was a clear identity of a pressing game.
Absolutely.
And a fast-moving game. And the Hustlers were playing then.
Yeah.
What's the identity now then, Joe?
It seems to change from week to week, if I'm being honest. Like, when we play at home, we just look scared. We look uninspired. We just let the teams come on to us. Birmingham, West Brom, both of them, we just sat there and let them play. Sometimes when we play away, we play that hustling game. We play fast. We play the high press. We actually, look exciting. But, why can't we do that every game, all the time? So, the identity for me is, I just don't see what the identity is, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, okay. Matt, you're shaking your head in agreement.
In agreement, yeah, absolutely. I think you're right, Jeff, going back. And again, you have to bear in mind the players we had, the likes of Bobby Reid, who would put that kind of shift in. But I agree with Joe there. I don't know what our identity is.
Jesus is energetic. He runs about. He's an athlete.
He does. He's not quick from that point of view. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the time he's isolated. There's not enough players close enough to him. I don't see the high press anymore. And in terms of moving the ball quickly, we just don't. Mm. Up until the weekend, Ashley Williams probably had the most touches of the ball for a City player in the last few games.
Wow.
And, everything we get, we seem to play backwards, sideways. We have free kicks, literally, in our own half, on the halfway line, practically. And it seems the first thought is to play backwards. Mm. Or sideways. We don't look to attack the opposition and put the ball in the mix, for want of a better phrase. I struggle. I don't know what our identity is.
Patch?
For me, our identity is we go out a bullet at gate for the first 5 minutes. We get a chance and then But before you know it, 40 minutes has passed. And it's usually we either scored in that first 5-10 minutes or we've had a chance and we've missed it. And then literally it's 40 minutes of trying to retain the ball, going backwards, going sideways, and there's not that killer pass getting found. And then if we do go one up, it's sitting back and waiting for them to come on to us. It's just, it can be so frustrating to watch it at times. You know, you can count on your hand the number of times where we've gone at it and gone for one, two, and then maybe even a third.
You're describing the Birmingham game perfectly there, aren't you? Yeah. Went ahead in the first 2 minutes and then...
Just sat back.
Sat back, didn't happen. No. Yeah. More City chat in a moment. Just got to get the latest on the roads. More with Joe, Patch and Matt. Join the debate. Get into it. Show 8000 855 949. Text 81333 with 20 man at the front of the message. Or drop me a tweet on Twitter at Jeff20man. Pat in Ashton Vale sent us a text. Jeff, if Messi and Ronaldo were playing in the City front line, they would have difficulty in scoring without service. Wells is a proven goal scorer in this league and needs game time and the service to be an asset. That's from Pat in Ashton Vale. So it's a kind of yes or no answer. Would you start Naki Wells regardless of the formation and how you're going to go about it, Patch Warner?
I thought you were going to say, would I start Messi? And I have to think about that. But Wells, I would, from the team on Saturday, I would keep it the same, drop O'Dowda and put Wells in and go for three up top with Weinmann. So yes.
Okay. For you, Matt Withers, when 100%. You're starting your team, is Wells one of the first names you'd stick on the team sheet?
100%, Jeff, yeah. We know that we're struggling with goals. It may very well come down to goal difference at the end of the season, so we need to be scoring. So, yeah, I mean, why sign a goal scorer for $5 million and then put him on the bench?
Okay, Joe?
Well, it's what we've been crying out for ages. Like, all last season, fans were saying, oh, I wish we had this player up front that was going to score goals, and now we've got it. We've got to play him, my opinion.
Okay. Alan Payne in touch said, don't understand the clamour for Palmer when Pato has been playing well. Can't play them both.
When Jamie came back, I think he was playing really well. I think he's dipped the last couple of games. For me, the clamour for Palmer is, the ability the bloke's got. I think a lot of fans are sort of saying, yeah, but when he comes on, he gives the ball away. But he's coming on with 10 minutes to go and being told, you need to get a goal.
Change the game.
So he's trying things that he's got to try and, the worldie pass or whatever. There's no doubt in the bloke's ability. Joe pointed it out at the start with a phobie. He was putting balls through. There's not another player in the club that could do that.
And I think there's a place for both of them. I keep Patterson in the team and I'd probably bring Nage out and put Palmer in because... This, to be fair, Nage played well in the first half when he was going forward and actually got into some attacking position. In some cases, reminded me of how he was in that first game when he scored.
Oh, yeah. Against Reading, was it?
Yeah. Reading, yeah. So I would put Nage on the bench and I'd have Smith in the sort of the sit-in role and Palmer going forward in the middle.
Okay, lots of questions coming in, which is great stuff. Rob Skeets, who sometimes sits in the very chairs you lads are occupying, he says, hi, Jeff and the boys. LJ has had to adapt to changing his team throughout the season, whether it be injury or players being sold. Ultimately, you can't move forward with so many changes, no matter what profession you're in. There lies the problem for me. Do you just accept, Matt Withers, that you are now, a selling club? Your assets are being sold? Does that make life tough for you? Do you accept it? How do you feel about it?
I accept it. I think, the model they're following, you get a player in like Josh Brownhill, develop him. You get an offer in of the like that they did, you're going to sell him. The likes of Lloyd Kelly that we did. So, no, I completely accept that as a model. You're probably not going to be top two if you're going to do that. But I think teams like Preston are doing that, Brentford are doing that. How many players have Brentford sold in the last few years and are still producing a team challenging, but a team that play attractive, creative football? So I'm with Rob with that. I don't know if that was just an excuse because I think on your show he said we'd finish top. So
he said top. I've got the audio there. Out to play next time he's in.
But he's right. I mean, I think there's a stat that came out yesterday, Jeff, that Lee's made 87 changes to his first starting 11 since the start of the season, and only Lee Bowyer at Charlton's made any more. So,
Tim Hughes in touch. Lots of questions. We'll just get to them as they come in. Hi, all. As a Somerset-based Forest fan, can you ask the boys how they think City will fare against one of their promotion rivals? This is from Tim in Nunney. So three games away. You've got Fulham, Blackburn and Forest away. It's a Sunday game, I'm thinking.
Mother's Day.
Mothering Sunday, is it?
I've got some work to do there,
man. There you go. Mothering Sunday. Do you love your mum or do you love City
more? Don't say that, Jack.
There you go, Matt.
Watch it on the TV.
We will find out. So let's assume the game was tomorrow or later tonight. Let's answer Tim's question. You guys, how would it roll if you played Forest? Pat's Warner first.
Well, I think the next four games are all against promotion rivals.
Next four,
so
yeah.
The question for me is, will Lee Johnson try and match them, or will he play in the way we should be playing and go for it? You know, we're in such a good position. Let's just throw the dice. Let's get the attack inside. Let's not worry too much about the opposition. Let's just treat everyone as if we are going to beat them. We need to go in with that positive mentality.
And would that approach beat Forrest?
Yes.
Matt Withers, would you beat Forrest? What do you think of Forrest as a team?
Great side. I think they play some really good football.
Don't butter Tim up.
No, not at all. No, I've got friends who are season ticket holders as well. But no, I think they're a good side. They've got some quality players. I really like Lolly. I think
he's
a good player. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the moment, no, I don't think we'll beat Fulham, Blackburn or Forest with the way that we're playing. And you know, I don't think we've got the greatest record away at Forest anyway. We've done well the last couple of seasons, actually. But so at the moment, it would be tough. I think a draw away at Forest would be a good
result. Take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Draw at Forest,
yeah.
What do you think of it, Joe, playing Forest today?
Well,
how would it go?
If we played them tomorrow, I think we'd lose. But if I think back to last season, we played West Brom at home towards the end. They were fourth and we came out and we were 3-0 up within 15 minutes and we just completely destroyed them within, you know, 20 minutes. So I'm thinking, why can't we do that, like, regularly? And I think if we did that against the likes of Forest, the likes of Blackburn, we'd have a real chance. But if we play against them like we're playing at the moment, I really can't see us getting anything from the game.
Okay.
What I'd like to see is that not too much. Just last 10 games, unless there's injury or illness, keep the same team bar one or two changes here and there, and just build on that and stick with it. Let's just stick with the same eight, if you like, same nine.
The core of the team.
Yeah.
Because I think he made six Saturday. Six, it was five the game before, and it was four the game before then, I think.
Yeah. He could have made 11 Saturday, Jeff, after Tuesday. That
sure.
It was that bad.
Yeah. Alan Payne's back in touch. He says, City's goal difference tells the story. This squad is bang average, according to Alan. Tony Wilkins says, evening all. Well, where do we begin? Yet again, more changes this weekend, but I can't be the only fan concerned with the lack of chances that we aren't creating. As I discussed with two of the panel the other night, what do we do about our midfield and creativity? These are the thoughts of City fans listening to the sound of the city. Talking City with three City fans, Joe Woodworth, Patch Warner and Matt Withers are with us. A text has come in for you guys. Jeff, brilliant show tonight. Great views from your guests. Only Lee knows what he works on to create our identity. Long ball, slow build-up, coaching the talent out of your players. Nothing excites the fans. Busy bees, hustlers, identity. All this waffle drives me nuts, is a text via 81333. It's great getting your views, but what's the mood on the guys around you, the guys you go to the match with, Patch? What's the general consensus where you are?
I sit next to a friend of mine who has been Johnson out more or less since the start of the season. So that's the sort of thing that I'm up against every game. And, you know, constantly saying about the team, the league position and the fact that where we are, but the players that we've got and what we've got at our, you know, at our disposal, is hard to accept that sometimes. And I've been very much Johnson in until the Huddersfield game, where I was somewhere on the fence, and I'm probably still somewhere on the fence now. But yeah, I've got a little WhatsApp group going with friends and there's some fans, and it's all pretty negative at the moment, and, you know, it's trying to get that positive spin and seeing what we can do. I know what we can do, and it just gets frustrating at times. So I'm quite a positive person. I always remain upbeat and think we can win every game against any team. But, you know, that Huddersfield game was a kick in the
Team. But yeah, that there was that run, four wins in a row, at least four in a row. I guess the WhatsApp group was purring with delight at that point.
Yeah,
it probably was a little bit more positive, but you know, the manner in which we won, so the Barnsley game was a last minute goal from Eliasson when we should have got two or three in that game. But yeah, it's positive when we go on a run, but they're still not very happy with the style of football they're seeing at home in the main, and the performances have got quite dull.
Okay.
For them.
Okay. Joe, you go in the Section 82, don't you? You do the singing and wave the flags and create the atmosphere. I mean, you are the fans who make it buzz. What's the mood amongst you and your mates?
Well, you know, I think the attitude in there is really you get behind the team no matter what, really, but you can still sense the frustration. You know, you can tell when the atmosphere dies down, when the players are just not, you know, playing well. The football's boring. The football's like not exciting. And the atmosphere this season, you know, I've been going in there for quite a few years, and the atmosphere this season really probably hasn't been as good as it has been in the last few years. And I really think that's just reflective of the football that we're watching, really, especially at home. The home form is just awful, and I think that is reflected by, you know, the atmosphere, people's, you know, moans and groans, and I think they're all justified, if I'm being honest.
Okay, and for you, Matt, I mean, you travel home and away. Is there a different, because City have actually picked up more points away than they have at home.
Yeah.
Is there a difference in the mood between the away fans and the guys you go with?
Yeah, I mean,
gate.
I think, I'm not saying that away fans are a different type of fan, but I think it's probably been more positive away from home. But again, like Joe was saying, probably because of the results and the performances. I think at the gate, I'm one of those, I think it is a two-way street, really. I think the players, if they're performing on the pitch and trying, that will get the crowd going. Mm. When they're not, and nothing bugs me more than when a player comes over to take a corner and gesticulates to the crowd as if to say, come on, you know, get behind us. When, you know, throughout the game, they have been behind them. I think I mentioned to you off air, Jeff, earlier on, I travelled on the coach the weekend because it was Millwall rather than driving and parking being a nightmare. And I was surprised at just how many of the guys and girls that I spoke to on the coach were of the opinion that, you know, the football we're watching is not very good. Has Lee taken us as far as we can go? And I know season ticket holders this season who aren't going to games at Ashton Gate, and also season ticket holders who are saying they won't be renewing next season, because you pay a lot of money and you want to be entertained. And at the moment, we're not. And, you know, I'm with Joe, you follow through thick and thin. You can take getting beat if you can see a performance. When you look at players who seem to show very little passion, Chris Honor sort of referenced it in one of the games the other week, it might have been the West Brom game, very little passion, you can't see what we've worked on, they look like strangers at Huddersfield. It's very difficult. And I think the mood swing has changed over the last few weeks. I think there's more, there's a growing sort of base that seemed to be saying, has Lee taken us as far as we can go? I'm not there yet, but like Patch, I'm a little bit now on the fence, whereas before I was very much in his camp.
Okay. No, I get that. And it's well explained from all three of you. What is good at the moment then? What is good? Matt Withers.
Do you know, Jeff, I'm struggling. I really am. I think defensively in the first half, we were good. It was good to see Thomas Callas
on Saturday.
On Saturday.
They played a nice high press and they compressed
did.
It, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. It. Not the sort of energetic press we've seen. But
played further up the field,
yeah,
though.
Exactly. But I think, you know, Nathan Baker and Callas worked well together. Pereira came in and did well. And it was great to see Corey Smith back on the pitch. And the only leader we've got in the team, Jeff, and it seems strange to say that when you've got the likes of Ashley Williams, who's done what he's done in the game, but when Corey's not there, we struggle with leadership. They're really, Adam Nash was better the weekend. They're the only positives, and I think even then, second half, as I said, we weren't great the second half. We got away with it a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, with Ash, I mean, not all players are natural leaders. Not all players are natural captains. You may have played 500 or 600 games, but you're not necessarily a captain. No, that's just the way you're made, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fair comment. I just think with his experience, I think he was captain at Swansea. I think he's probably captain internationally as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't see that on the pitch. And it might just be where I sit in the South Stand. You're not hearing everything.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
No, Corey, you can see he gets everybody else
he is a leader.
Alongside him.
Yeah. Joe, what do you see that you like?
Well, it's only really on an individual level that I can really see positives. I think Gigi's been playing actually exceptionally well. May not be, you know, banging them in, but, you know, his performances have been brilliant, in my opinion. You cannot fault his effort. You know, people say, oh, they're not trying, but there's, if there's one man who's always going to put in 100%, it's Pham.
His defending of set plays
is that's brilliant.
Magnificent.
And I'll reference that with the, you know, the home atmosphere. It's like, against West Brom, Gigi must have cleared about six corners in a row, and every single one there was a cheer from the crowd, everyone getting behind them, and that's all we want to see, really. Just a little bit of fight, a little bit of determination, and you know, you can always get that from Pham, but unfortunately we don't always see that from the team as a whole.
Yeah, sure. I'm saying about his defending, he did get caught in possession of the West Brom.
Yeah,
he was like a boy in a school playground, wasn't he, where he felt, I can beat everyone on a slalom run. But before that, he got about five or six balls away, which is quite incredible. Patch, what do you enjoy at the moment?
I think the catering's really good at the moment.
The Mexican they've got down there.
You're overdoing it, by the way. You're over engaging with that.
That's horrible.
He opened the door, mate.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, but the lads have covered it, really. Yeah. I think having Corey Smith back is a massive plus. And, you know, Patterson still playing well for me, and having those options of Eliasson and Patterson. Gigi has been the player of the season so far for me, and I'd be worried that people would be looking at him as well as Eliasson probably at the end of the season. But, you know, the massive day for us on Saturday. It's Fulham. It's the 125th anniversary with a special shirt. I think we're playing in the special shirt, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
You going to wear yours, Matt?
I am, of course.
So that's something I'm really looking forward to. Get a few of the old guard back down there. I don't know if there's a parade on the pitch or what.
There are former players there.
Yeah, I was going to say they should be, shouldn't they?
So everything to play for still. The good things are our league position, regardless of what's going on the pitch. The league position is still good. And, you know, we've got 10 games left to go for it.
Yeah, no, that's reality. And I love as someone who used to play, these are the games you want to play in. Fulham, you can affect what they're going to do with the rest of the season. Blackburn the same, Forest the same, Cardiff the same. Gunga Din's in touch, says the identity should be going for a cross between Wolves and Sheffield United. Looking at both teams' open style of play shows where we should be going. Failing that, stick Pat Lam in charge. He's doing a great job at Bristol. But
a good idea, actually. Yeah, swap him over.
Sheffield United, Wolves kind of approach, style of play.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to look at the players you've got.
But they stick to what they do, don't they?
They do, absolutely. And I think, you know, last season, what did we beat? Sheffield United 3-2 away. Now they dropped to
beat them at home.
The Prem. Yeah, exactly.
The Wolves approach was just throw a lot of money at it and the manager and go for it and go for broke, more or less. If they hadn't gone up that season, I think they'd have been in terrible trouble.
Yeah. I think they would. But they've still got that. Again, come back to that word that we all hate, but the identity.
You know how Wolves are going to play, don't you?
Brentford's the same, though, Jeff. Brentford, certainly under Dean Smith, and then now with Franks, you know the style of football you're going to get with Brentford. They change personnel, they bring players in. You know, they've got injuries in the same way as, you know, we have, but you still know what you're going to get. We don't know from one game to the next what sort of game we're going to watch. You know, whether we're going to be defensive, whether we will go for broke, you know, you just don't know. And you saying, Jeff, it's the game you want to play in, those sort of games. I'm not seeing from the team at the moment the belief that they think we can make the playoffs. And if I was seeing that, and I think a lot of the fan base, they would feel slightly different with it. I'm just not seeing it doesn't look like they believe it in themselves at the moment.
Okay, yeah, I get that. Colin in Briz says, Jeff, sad to say, it's looking as though, like many of us watching City, some of the players aren't enjoying the playing style. Far too ponderous. That's from Colin in Briz. And Casey and M, big City fans. City have to win on Saturday. It's my partner's birthday. She'll not be happy if they don't. That's from Casey and M. Mark Tovey, regular contributor to our sport, of course. He says, ask the lads, what would their starting 11 be for Saturday's game, and how would they go about beating Fulham? Fulham footballing side, they let you play. Patch Warner, how do you set up against Fulham?
I already gave mine a bit earlier on, but I would keep the back four the same. If Bentley's fit, he starts for me. I'd keep with...
So the back four, go through them.
So De Silva, Baker, Callas and Pereira. I thought Pereira earned a spot and should keep it. Keep Patterson, Smith and probably Nage in the middle with the three. And I'd bring in...
Wells for Odaida and go with Vyman, Zizou and Wells up top. And then Palmer on the bench to come on in the 60th minute if it's still 0-0 and the game's not been affected enough.
Joe, how would you go about playing and beating Fulham?
I mean, I largely agree with that lineup, although I have to say, with regards to the goalkeeper, I thought that Nicky Minepool was absolutely brilliant last season. And with Bentley, he has been overall, you know, a good addition to the squad, but he does make a few errors here and there. And I think, you know, maybe it's time just to give him a few games on the bench, give Nicky a few goes in the team, just to see if there are any difference. I don't think there's any harm in that. It could turn out well. The back four, I'd agree. I'd potentially not have Vyman in. I think that O'Dowda could offer more, actually, on the ball particularly. I feel that Vyman doesn't back himself on the ball. You know, he sort of runs with it and then he just sort of stops, looks around, see who he can pass to, and, you know, the attack fizzles out. Whereas I think O'Dowda, sometimes he does make the wrong decision on the ball, but I do prefer that. I do prefer have a go, see what happens, and we know what he can do. I'd always have Corey Smith in the side. I'd certainly have Palmer in the squad. I'd certainly have Wells and Zizou starting as well. And yeah, I'd probably stick with Naj as well.
Okay, got that. And for you, Matt Withers, how do you beat Scott Parker's side then?
I think it's difficult at the moment with the way they're playing. They're an expansive side. They've got Mitrovic, who's excellent up front. I understand what Joe's saying. For me, Bentley starts. Minepur came in, did okay the weekend. I mean, Leah thinks that how secure he was. Yes, he was, and I again agree with Joe.
He hadn't played since April, had he?
No, he hadn't. That's right. Wow. And Dan Bentley has made a couple of mistakes of late, but then he's also kept us in games. Mm. So I don't think he deserves to be dropped if he's back fit. I think the back four, I'd agree with. I'd stick with midfield of the two. I would definitely go Corey straight on there, and probably Adam Naj, just because I thought he improved a lot on Saturday. I would go Dijon and Wells up top, and then it's who else? Potentially, I would go with Callum or Nick over Andy Woman. I think Andy runs around a lot at the moment. I'm not seeing enough end product from him. And I don't know if I'm playing 11 or 12 there, but again, maybe I'd stick with Jamie. But, you know, I'd like to get Casey Palmer in as well, because I am a big Casey Palmer fan. I don't hide that. I just think he's the sort of player that you might need against Fulham to unlock them. And that's what we're struggling with. I think all your texts, everything we've said tonight, we're struggling to create stuff. And
can we play
up
fantasy football very quickly?
Well, that's almost what we're playing, isn't it?
If Afobe was fit Saturday, running, where'd you play him? Do you drop Wells and put him up from a Zizou? I think you
would if he was fit, just because of...
Yeah, let's just say he's hit the ground running and he's ready to go.
If he was, I mean, Afobe, I think he's infectious as well as
the
character.
Yeah, he did more than enough. You'd pick him straight off. I'd put him in Wells up top personally.
Yeah, and I think I kind of wonder with Pham, and he would be my player of the season at the moment. Mm. He really would. But I also kind of wonder if he's
almost, put him as back.
Almost as important defensively for us at the moment as he is at the other end of the field.
Should never be the reason for picking a striker.
No, it shouldn't be.
Not one of you guys mentioned Nicholas Eliasson there in your assessment of where you do on. So that's how far he has fallen. Well, it was only a few weeks ago. People were telling me
include Nick or not.
They would build a team around him.
I think I even said that to you. But his form of late has been really poor.
Yeah. It's football, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I don't think, in the same way as he's not picking players like Casey Palmer and whoever else, you know, I think Nick's form has been poor of late.
Is it more important at this stage and the way he's been playing to have him on the bench to come on and change the game?
Yeah, I mean, you'd keep him in the squad without a shadow of a doubt because he can come on and
Eliasson
and change something.
So I've got him back in your thinking anyway.
He's always on the bench and he's always the first change along with Palmer.
Okay, more chat with the lads. 10 minutes to go on the Sound of the City. More texts coming in. People enjoying the company. Joe Woodworth, Patch Warner and Matt Withers on the Sound of the City. Pat in Ashton Vale says, Jeff, to be honest, I don't think we are ready yet for the playoffs and certainly not good enough for the Prem. Sadly, I think Lee has taken City as far as he can. That's from Pat in Ashton Vale via 81333.
Cruises Creek says, interesting discussion tonight. All LJ's talk of City's identity is nonsensical. Quite simply, we don't have one at the moment. Rob Skeet's back. He says, it's okay saying about Brentford and how they sell players, but they manage to keep hold of their best player, i.e. Ollie Watkins. That's 20-plus goals. That's a good point, well made, isn't it?
Yeah,
with
it
regard
is.
To keeping your goals are the oxygen of life, aren't they?
Yeah, he'll still be there if they go up. If they get in the playoffs and do it?
I don't know. I mean, he is 20 goals this season. I mean, Mope was there last season. They got him.
Yeah.
So, but I agree with Rob. I think he's an important player to them in the way that they play, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I got all excited when City signed, at the time, Marley Watkins. I thought, oh, they've signed Ollie Watkins. I've been a fan of his for years, like, you know.
There's another player who's dropped out of the squad.
He's injured, isn't he?
Oh, is he actually injured, is he?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, because he came in and had a good few games.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so, I mean, it's almost make or break, isn't it, these games, Fulham, Blackburn, Forest, Cardiff. What's your view going into those then, Patch?
Well, I think we've said what we can. I mean, it's one of those things where we are in a great position. We just need to attack and go for it. There's no point in going one goal up and sitting back. If we go one goal up, let's go for it. Let's change the way that we approach some of these games. And they're all hard games. Every game's hard. Look at West Brom and Wigan the other night. Every game's hard. Let's not give the opposition too much respect, and let's just try and play the way that we know we can play. We've got some goal scorers in the team now as well. It's just all out attack. And I know that in reality, is that what Johnson's going to do? Probably not.
No.
But and then that lends itself to the people that are saying that Johnson's taken us as far as he can, because he's still got that defensive midfield mindset.
Is that part of the modern game now, where you do give the opponents too much respect because of all the analysis and all the kind of intelligence you get on them?
Definitely
is,
likes
that,
his,
is that the modern game now for everybody?
Seems to be. Though.
Definitely likes his statistics and his ball retention and his balls completed and that sort of thing. But
box entries, you get
you get to the end of the season, 10 games to go, and you're in a great position.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't worry too much about that. You've got to go for it. And if we did do that, I think that he could even turn people around. Some of the people that are on the fence and in the Johnson out camp, he could turn them around if he comes out in the last 10 games and starts playing more attacking, more, you know, forward thinking, less sideways and backwards football.
I think on paper we've got a really good squad, but at the moment I don't know if they're being, sounds a stupid thing to say, but overcoached. Sometimes I look at the players and I think, have they just got too much information? Do they really know what they should be doing at times? And I also think with Lisa, an element of do we stick or do we twist? You know, actually not losing games against Fulham, Blackburn, Forest, Cardiff, in and around us, is that almost more important than winning them?
For me, not losing now, I don't think it's an option.
No, exactly.
You've got to win.
You want to go and win it.
I just wonder
if he sort of looks at it and thinks, you know, he talked about the weekend there. The results, you
keeps
know,
Millwall
it,
at
was,
bay.
It keeps Millwall at bay, and you're sort of thinking, well, why are we worrying about Millwall? We should be looking. Actually, if we'd won, we'd be, you know, alongside Preston. And
Fev's in touch. Yeah, Morpay, Conser, Sawyers, Bentley? £35 million worth of sales there. They're all Brentford players, obviously.
Yeah.
Joe, from I mean, positivity. I can sense that's the way you want to see Lee and his coaches approach these games.
Oh, yeah, certainly. There's no reason why we can't go out there and try to win. We've got to win, you know. Four out of four wins, that propels us right into the playoffs. Obviously, four out of four losses, and that pretty much blows our chances. But rather than just sort of, you know, fizzling out, I'd rather
go down fighting.
Go through.
Yeah. I mean, some of the results and sequences, people use the expression streaky, don't they? Whether the sequence of wins or defeats.
I mean, he's got it in his locker that we could win the next four games. You know, he's proven that over his time with us. He does have those run of games. I mean, they'll be tough, and I don't know how many of us would expect that, but he has definitely got it in his locker, you know, to have that run of results.
Okay, let's do a little straw poll between my live guests, of which there are three. Majority wins it. Fulham at home, who thinks they'll win?
Win, for me. Patch?
I'll go win, yeah.
Win.
Loss.
Well, that's a majority of two, so it's a win. Blackburn away, Joe?
Win.
Draw.
Okay, that's positive anyway. Forest away, we've been to this one, but we'll revisit.
Loss for me, Jeff, that one. Not just because of Tim.
Joe?
Draw.
draw.
A win for
a
Mother's
win.
Day.
Okay, a win for Mothering Sunday.
My mum's a season ticket holder. Okay. She deserves a win.
And then the delights of Cardiff. Cardiff at home. How do you see that one, Patch?
God, I bloody hope you win that one.
Live on the radio, Patch.
That was a cracking game. That when we beat Cardiff last season. That was awesome. Was that last season or season before? But I've got to go a home win against Cardiff.
Yeah, win.
Win for me. I think Marlon and Aidan aren't playing at the moment. I didn't the weekend. So
yeah,
that'd be
Flinty
good as
was well. Sub, wasn't
he? Sub last few weeks. Yeah, but a win for me that one. Yeah,
so win. Yeah. Is that your head or your heart talking?
That's
there?
My heart. There. I think a couple of these results are my heart.
And Joe, Cardiff.
I'll go with my heart. I'll say a win.
Yeah.
Although,
We have to have improved performances for any of those wins. Yeah.
But generally, the vibes I got from you lads there were fairly positive in terms of those four games overall.
I think it probably says more about us, I think. Yeah, I mean, in terms of performances, I think we'll do well to get a couple of points out of them. If I'm being completely honest and realistic with how we've been playing. But, you know, you like to think with the atmosphere.
Have you all renewed your season tickets?
I haven't yet, but I will be. Yeah, 100% will be. Yeah,
you will be.
Yeah.
I will renew. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, Joe will renew, and you could have some safe standing next year.
It's pretty much looks like it's definitely going to happen now. So yeah, that's an interesting development. I mean, it just it is a bit of evidence that the club is looking to engage a bit more with the fans because they've been after this for quite some time.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're going to renew yours. You're going to renew yours, which means Patch.
I've renewed.
Already renewed.
It's a way of life for me. Brilliant. I'd still be there in the Vauxhall Conference, whatever it's
called. That's the way it should be as well. That's the way it should be. Your team is for life, lads. Great to have you on the show. Big thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff.
Cheers, Jeff.
Joe Woodward.